Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we are going to chat about a monster movie today. You all know how big a fan I am of monster movies, and this is an indie supernatural horror out of Thailand called The Lake. And today's guest is director Lee Tong Kam, who has done a really amazing job with this film. Visually, it's stunning. And I have questions, and hopefully Lee will answer them. Welcome, Lee.
Hello. Welcome from Thailand. This is Lee Tong Kam.
So I have questions about this movie. Who wrote this? Where did you find this project and decide to say, I'm making this?
Yeah. I just love monster movie, and I like Jurassic Park, Godzilla, you know, all the above. And Thailand, you know, we are missing out. So I'm like, we need to catch up. And like me, I've been developing the project for 5 years, you know. So just keep researching, like, so how do I make this look real, realistically? And watching all the behind the scene of Jurassic Park, the making of, is fun. It's like, wow, I want to do that. But in Thailand, because we have so much range of landscape and, you know, farm field that we've never seen before from a monster movie. So I want to capture all that from my country, Thailand. So I just researching, like, okay, how do I build this, you know, monster? And I gather all this information I have and just present to investors and producers, whoever want to follow my path, you know? So luckily I got somebody who, you know, my producers who helped me throughout the process and make this monster movie happen, you know?
So did you write it or co-write it, or did somebody else write it and then you just enhanced it with your vision for the monster?
Yeah, I started writing it, and then as the time goes along, as different, you know, people start getting involved, different people, and we have more writers and different point of view of different people. So it's just more like a collaboration project.
So talk about the monster, because this is more than 50%, 60% practical effects. There's some areas where it's digital, but most of the damage looks like it's being caused by old school practical monster mayhem effects.
Yeah, it is. My true vision is always, you know, go practical effects with this movie, but there's some shots, like a full wide shot of monsters, which need to be digitally, you know, CGI, because it's impossible to have that look, you know, without CGI. So just an enhancement, I would say, like the eye movement, the tongue movement, that's CGI. But overall, the body itself is all three story tall monster. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So wait, the very large version of the monster was also practical?
Yeah, we built the actual monster like a T-Rex, you know? We built the actual monster. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, because Mama Monster was pretty impressive from both a sound and a look perspective. This monster's design, talk about everything that went into getting the look of this monster, because there are some scenes where it looks a little bit like Godzilla and some other scenes where it looks like an angry mutated T-Rex from Jurassic Park, but it still has a presence, a physical presence that I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, it all started with me trying to find who can design this monster for me so I can build it. So I contacted the guy who created like Aliens and Predator and Avatar and stuff. So I go to California, fly there, and met Joe Duchelle. He's the guy who designed all this monster movie. So I pitched him my ideas. Hey man, I'm a nobody from Thailand, but I want you to help me, you know, create this big monster movie. And he's like, okay, sure. I'm like, oh, okay, that's easy. Okay. And then he built this for me, and then he designed the monster. I told him that it's from the lake, and you know, you have snakes, alligator, catfish stuff combined. Can you do that for me in Thailand? You know, frog. So he did this for me, and then yeah, that's how it started. I take the concept of his design to China. China built the monster for me, ship it to Thailand. It's fun.
So, how long did it take for him to take your ideas and your vision and actually come up with a model for you?
Yeah, about like 2 months max. You know, he had the vision already that I give him. He just got to design it.
I'm trying to imagine the big monster being shipped from China to Thailand.
I got
That
a
must.
behind the scene of that soon. I will release behind the scene of that. It's pretty funny. It's like a big container truck. I'm like, how am I gonna build this? It's like those Play-Doh. It's like those Lego toys, you know.
I love extras, behind the scenes stuff, making up stuff. I love those extras. And for monster movies, that kind of stuff is just more fun for me. For this film, talk about the setting, because we start out in what looks like the outskirts of a medium-sized town, and we're on the edge of a lake, and a little girl finds an egg, and shenanigans ensue.
Yes, it is. Like I said, my first vision is to shoot in my hometown, Thailand, the countryside, which, you know, I'm like, hey, we never seen this kind of setting in the monster movie before. You know, not the whole movie. You know, those Thai like those Asian countryside movie. So I just want based on the farm field at first, and then city, and then you know, not the city, the town. It's like a small little town. And how the people interaction with, you know, what they don't understand, basically. That's the whole concept of the movie.
Yes, the one thing I was confused about, I wasn't sure if this was a monster, a phenomenon that was returning after a few decades, or if this was the town's first encounter with it. I wasn't quite sure about that. So talk about the story a little bit, the monster's presence in this region, and then we're going to get into some of the acting performances.
Basically, the story is supposed to be expanding really big. Like, if it's successful, then we expand the story to legend and mythical and science and stuff. So that's the whole concept of the movie. The new generation of people in the town don't know that exists, but the older folks, you know, I haven't portrayed that well, but they know that this monster have kept it in this province for a long decade, you know, long time. And now it's a walking, you know, it's supposed to be kept like a secret hidden in this province. That's the true legend in Thailand, that like something this happened. I just play around with the legend a little bit. If you re research it. The title of the movie of Thailand is called Bungan, the lake. Bungan is a province that this movie taking place. So
So there's actually a local story, a local fable, legend that
yes,
this particular story is based on.
it's by like a giant serpent that's in this province that, you know, like a type kind of religion type thing. But I just portrayed my own. This is how it would look like if it's real.
Well, I am a fan of the mythology of the monster that was built up as I understood it. Okay. I said, I'm not sure if I missed a few nuances because of the translation of the subtitling, but I wanted to know more about the monster, especially, later we have a relationship between a baby version of the monster and a couple of characters. And seeing that interaction, I was trying to figure out where did this come from? But all of the people who were subjected to the monsters, all of them, just the performances, the look of fear or resignation or terror on as they were dealing with this thing were compelling. And you still had moments in there of tiny little relationship developments, and you could see these people cared. And I thought that was unique for a monster movie, and kind of cool. Where were you heading with these people and their relationship to both monsters that we saw?
Well, as my original idea is, this is without the Chinese coming in. My original is always about family and linking to each other. Because the movie also is about linking and connection. Everybody have connection throughout this movie. Example, as you know, those brothers and sisters, those three brothers and sisters, they lost and they're all separated and they all try to find each other or connect with each other. About a father and a daughter, they're all distant from each other, and they're both trying to connect, like emotionally, to each other from what they've been through. And you have the big mama monster and trying to find eggs and trying to be connected. Everybody's trying to find something in this in these three storyline. They're all trying to connect it to each other, and that's basically the story, if that's portrayed, if you guys understand that part, I guess.
Yes, the family connection was apparent and poignant in several places. The connection I couldn't figure out what happened was with the brother and the baby monster. I was like, was he injured in a different way than the other people that he didn't die? Or explain that a little bit.
Yeah, he's got the link connection with the small one. He can see vision. He can basically he be the end. Guess it's not obvious, but trying to not tell much. But it's like yeah, he became the monster in the end. That's the whole process. We were for me it, like I leave that off because I don't want to show that much in this first movie. I just want to see the just show the question first for this movie. And then if this is successful, then I will answer everything in part two or something. The whole connections is it's a point with this storyline, like linking with the small monster, what the small monster want, what the monster want actually, the whole thing is like,
Yeah, I don't want to give too many spoilers away because, like I said, this is a fun monster movie, and I would encourage fans of monster movies to go check this one out. What it seemed like to me was a storm disturbed an underwater nest and moved the eggs, and mama's coming to look for the eggs, but something happened, and one of the babies is running around, and mama's trying to find it.
yeah, that's a really simple concept, hey, man.
No,
But
okay.
yeah, it's really great. I mean, yeah, that's a good storyline. I mean, good pitch. That's good pitch. That's how I pitch to people. Like, okay, that's just simple. Yeah, but we having all the epic action pack in the movie.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I got that part of the storyline right. I don't want to give too many spoilers away, like I said, but the government coming in to force the commander, the commandant, the police chief to shall we say, tell a different story from what already happened. I'm like, how do you keep a story this big under wraps? And I think it's even with social media, you can debunk it. You can just you say nothing to see here so many times, and people start to believe it. And you're like, wait, what? These footprints, this mayhem, these
Well,
people who died.
that's basically how things and become myth and legends and facts and fiction. That's how things, you know, like Bigfoot and stuff. They say they saw it, but we didn't see it. Like we reading it didn't see it. Kind of like that. And that's how things became, you know, a story and bedtime story. It's like, hey, there's a monster here, attack. Yeah, okay, prove it, you know. That kind of thing. And you know, as the movie progresses, the time passed by, and it's just, you know, just became a story to them. I mean, you guys, this movie also take place in one night, so there's no time to
Yes.
actually, there's no time to do anything actually.
Yep, it starts and it's over. You know, it starts at sundown and it's over by morning. The one thing that I was intrigued by was the government official's reason. It's like, we don't want the peace of our village disturbed by having monster hunters come here and mess up what we have. And yet it seems that the one detective, James, I believe, he retires from the police force. He turns in his badge and he becomes a monster hunter, is what it seemed like. And that's a journey I would love to follow.
Right? Like, I see a lot of people comment on that too. Like, hey, I want more of that story, you know?
So talk about the character of James, because he seemed to come out of nowhere, but then became a person you wanted to see more of.
The whole every character progresses, like change. It's not like, you know, just a one story movie. It's more like a every character's change. James, you know, the police change, the little girl who found the egg change, the brother change, everybody just change from what went through. The whole situation of the monster affected everybody, especially the detective who tried to find the monster, but really he's just trying to find himself. If that's not going to spoil anything, but yeah.
Yes, the monster changes his life and his outlook on life, and he decides to become a monster hunter.
Just trying to track down this mystical creature that nobody want to bother anymore. So he would do it himself because of something happened to him, you
So, talk a little bit about where this was filmed, because even in scenes where you had downpour, it was the some of the long shots you had in there were absolutely gorgeous, and some of the night scenes, even when you couldn't see through the rain itself was cinematography was the composition of the shots, even in the pouring rain, was impressive. And I had to wonder, I'm like, are they really filming during monsoon season?
it's a difficult process. That's why it takes like 5 years for this movie. It's like I said, there's no set building. We shot everything real on location, you know. That's the difficult part. Shooting in the lake with the rain and smoke and everything all together, explosion. Just like, man, like it's so much fun. Yes, it looks came out great, right? I mean, that's all that matters, that you
It
guys can
did, it did.
experience that you guys can experience the whole environmental of this movie. It's all gritty and dark, and you can feel the you're in a situation of this darkness with the monster, you know.
Well, the movie itself is coming out in North America, limited theatrical release on the 10th, March 10th, and on digital platforms on March 14th. And then it'll be available on actually physical media in June. Is that correct?
Yes. Physical media in 14th of March, is it?
No. Maybe it's April 14th.
Maybe.
Anyway, I have questions because you mentioned you had a behind the scenes clip of the big monster being shipped. What other extras that you know of are on the disc? Because I absolutely love like creator commentary, and this one is just crying out for it.
Right. Yeah, that would be cool if they have it. We see, right?
So you don't know? You don't know if you're going to have a director's commentary track on the disc?
I haven't approached by it yet, no.
Oh, no. You have to tell somebody. You have to say, dudes.
Like, I'm down for it. And like, I love to watch the movie and just, like, talk about every scene. You know, like, this shot, you know.
Oh, and this movie needs it, especially, you know, walking people through which, you know, practical shots, you know, practical monster right, shots are true. There, you know, come on, you have to do this for us.
Yeah, let's push for it.
Yes, call somebody or tell me who to call. I'll make calls. Well, Lee, I want to thank you for your time today.
No
like
problem,
I said,
man.
This was a fun one to watch. I'm glad you persevered through your 5 years to actually get it on film.
Thank you.
Again, the movie is The Lake, available March 10th, March 14th, and April 14th on various platforms from Epic Pictures. We'll have links to where Epic says you can find them to purchase. But again, Lee, thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your support also. I appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod, the free science fiction podcast brought to you by escape artists.
I rippled a welcoming cadence of light beneath my skin, and then, seeing the newcomer was human, made my best approximation of a smile. Welcome to Helixer Transgalactic Lounge.
Each week, one story told well.
She should have never come back to this God's forsaken junk heap of a space station. But she couldn't help but miss it when she was away for too long.
From the most astonishing and visionary storytellers of the genre.
But because time is a trick of the mind, it can be hacked. And we have gotten good at it. We had to.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Or find us on the web at escapepod.org. And on Patreon under EA Podcasts.
Hi. This is Barbara Crampton, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. Ooh, scary.
Again, the movie is The Lake. Limited theatrical run started March 10th. As of March 14th, you'll be able to watch it on a variety of digital platforms, which you can find if you go to the website epic-pictures.com. All the details, just click on the link and you'll see all the details for the various digital platforms streaming and on demand that you can watch. And if I'm not mistaken, you can also pre-order the Blu-ray of The Lake. And I'm a little annoyed that there are no details about what's on the disc, but it sounds like if you can already pre-order it, they probably do not have any bonus features or commentary tracks, Which makes me sad. Commentary tracks are almost necessary for monster movies. What's going on here? Anyway, tell me how you feel about monster movies, if you love them as much as I do, or if you think your monsters need a little bit more spice in them, or a little less spice, a little bit more camp. I don't know. How do you like your monster movies? Let me know. The number to call is 602-635-6976, or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can also reach out on Twitter @sliceofscifi, get a conversation started. Yes, I will talk about monster movies. I will also talk about soccer, baseball, sometimes rock and roll, definitely science fiction movies, especially space opera, and, oh yeah, horror. You can also chime in the discussion sections of the website. Come on by, sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher or Podchaser, please consider leaving us a review. Let folks know you are enjoying the show. And maybe they should check it out for themselves. Word of mouth, I believe, is a better influencer than social media. So if you like the show, tell people about it. If you're not enjoying the show as much, tell me about it. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi. Your pledges and donations really do help keep things running around here. If you want to help out, the place to go right now is patreon.com/sliceofscifi, or you can do a direct donation, paypal.me/scifisummer. Nobody's using Ko-fi yet, so I don't know what's going on over there. But those are the primary locations where you can donate. If you donate through Patreon, you are eligible for perks, for free stuff. The media, the books, the DVDs, the Blu-rays, the 4Ks that I get to review here. I really don't have the space to keep all of it, so the supporters of the show get first dibs at some pretty cool products. And every month I pick a winner out of the digital hat, and that person gets to choose. So it's one way to help find new homes for some of this cool stuff and keep down my clutter. Another way you can help support is by purchasing items from sliceofscifi.net. It's a little bare right now. I'm way behind in adding products over there, mostly books and DVDs, Blu-rays. But that's a curated list, curated shop, rather, of pretty cool science fiction and horror, sometimes mystery thriller, sometimes nonfiction, that we think are pretty cool and you might enjoy as well. Again, the place to go is sliceofscifi.net. And all purchases through that site are affiliate links, so you'll be supporting us that way as well. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice with Sci-Fi next time. Take care.